Ramus had waved Radis's crew aboard the corvette, hauled friends and strangers alike to safety. He'd recognized one of Radis's technical chiefs, a middle-aged woman who lurched into his arms. Her face was burned, but she pressed a data tape into Ramus's hand and pulled away.
"We got what we came for,"
the woman said.
"You need to go. Admiral's orders."
He wanted to argue. Instead, he made sure the burned woman boarded the tent of E4. Then he turned his back on the brave rebels who remained in the profundity and made for the bridge. The tent of E4 wasn't ready to fly, but it flew. It emerged from the burning wreck of the cruiser and sped away from Scarif. For a blessed few seconds, it moved swiftly, confidently through space. Then the ship rocked again and echoed with thunder and sparks. From a station on the bridge, Ramus could smell circuits melting.
"Star Destroyer closing!" called the officer at the tactical console.
Ramus didn't recognize the face, one of Radis's men. He erased the fear from his own expression.
"Get us into hyperspace," he said.
"Make sure you secure the airlock and prepare the escape pods."
The Tantive IV might jump out of the system, but it was hurt and it would be pursued. Best not to take chances. He saw a figure in white robes near the bridge entrance and turned the tape over in his hand. He approached the woman and said, his tone respectful,
"Your Highness, the transmission we received."
The woman looked toward him. He'd seen her face many times before, knew it well. She was young, seemed younger every day, even as her responsibilities grew and grew. He held out his hand. Childlike fingers took the data tape.
"What is it they've sent us?"
he asked. Princess Leia Organa looked at him as if he'd placed another burden on her shoulders, another responsibility to add to a count of thousands, and she was proud to bear it. "Hope," she said. Ramus believed her.
Supplemental data. In memoriam. Document number MS-8619. Unpublished reflections on Jyn Erso from the personal files of Mon Mothma via the Hextrathon collection.
I regret to say I only met Jyn twice. To claim I knew her well would be an insult to the young woman whose fervor captivated so many. Conversely, to speak only of her effect on our movement, to recount yet again the rallying of the rebellion and our transformation from a wary coalition into a unified nation would be both redundant and insulting. So put no stock in my words. I can tell you of those two meetings and what I saw in her, or what, looking back, I remember seeing in her, which may be far removed from the truth. You may find more of a weary ex-senator than Jyn Erso in all this. Jyn was in chains when we met before Operation Fracture. I had seen her file and chosen her for the mission for reasons I wish I could be proud of. I expected to meet a troubled girl who had been failed by the Alliance in 100 different ways. Failed by Saw, failed by those of us who knew Saw, failed when she went out on her own, and failed by our inability to save her father or mother. I expected she could be persuaded, by which I suppose I meant manipulated into helping us, and that in doing so we might help her too. But the woman I met at Base One could not be manipulated. There are very few people whose will and ferocity are so great that they pull other people in their wake. I've known some who cultivated that talent as politicians and generals, for good or ill. Jyn, I think, never knew the effect she had on others. Never realized the intensity of her own humanity or the presence she brought to a room. She was, as expected, troubled and quarrelsome. She was also impossible to ignore or forget. In her short life, she had seen relentless hardship and become hard herself. But her fire shone bright. If our first meeting was brief, our second was even briefer.
We exchanged a handful of private words when she briefed Alliance High Command on the threat of the Death Star. And the woman I met then was far different from the one we'd chained. Was she at peace? I don't believe so. But she held herself with a newfound certainty. It's become fashionable in some quarters to claim Jyn Erso went to Scarif intending to die a martyr. That she realized she had lost everything and chose her path by its inevitable end. I will dispute this claim until my own dying days. I think Jyn fully recognized who she was and sought a way to channel her best and worst impulses, her darkest moments and her brightest, toward a cause worthy of her true incandescence. In a kinder universe, she would have walked away from Scarif. I cannot imagine who she would have become, but I think she would have been extraordinary. I am grateful I knew her, no matter how short the time. This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, by Alexander Freed, based on a story by John Knoll and Gary Whitta. Screenplay written by Chris Weitz and Tony Gilroy. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer Aaron Blank. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.